We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Felder Friday edition of College Sports Now. Folks, we made it. The weekend is here. We got college football games coming up Friday night. We get a look at Cincinnati taking on an improved Temple team that Felder in the show notes told me that I owe an apology to. So we'll get to that a little bit later. Felder, how are you living, my man? You all right? You good? I mean, you sound a little, I heard some heavy breathing before the show. Are we all right? We good? That's water. That's water, by the way. That's water. It's too early to be drinking beers, but I'm sure you feel like you probably want to get into a few.
Yeah, no. People are supposed to measure our countertops today. My wife gets super anxious about stuff like this, so I clear the countertops off the night before instead of just, you know, something that would be easy to do the day of. And they're not coming today. So I had to make breakfast with cleared countertops. It's not the easiest thing to do. But other than that, let's rock and roll.
So here's what we've got on the show today, kids. First of all, Trip Hurd behind the scenes producing the show. We will hear from him a little bit later for the That's My Dog segment. Trip has entered the chat. He's 2-0 with underdog picks. He gave out ECU plus 3 last week.
What am I?
You are. Let me take a look at the notes here. You are 1-1. No, 2-1. 2-1. You gave out Michigan State, which was a win against Miami.
No. Those are the ones where I was divergent from you. I get credit for you. I believe UCLA and Arkansas both were winners.
Oh, you get credit for those. Okay. All right. You agreed with me. Okay. Well, then let me rack up here. Let me restart. You are 4-1.
Okay.
With That's My Dog selections. You agreed with me on UCLA, LSU. You agreed with me on Arkansas, Texas. You went rogue with Michigan State, Miami.
Yes.
You agreed with me on Kansas State, Oklahoma State, which did not go well. Kansas State was beat up, and Oklahoma State, for some reason, continues to win games. Last week, you gave out Auburn plus 3 at LSU, which, got to be honest, man, wasn't looking good when it was 17-0 Tigers. Other Tigers.
And then it looked good.
And then it looked really good because Bo Nix decided to sprinkle that little voodoo.
Bo Nixissance.
Yeah, we'll talk about Bo Nix. They got a pretty big game coming up against Georgia. So here's what we're going to do today, kids. We've got the That's My Dog segment that we will wrap up the show with. That's coming a little bit later. Felder 5, which we will get into coming up next. But I do want to tease Nubias Wilborn from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, friend of the program, is going to join us to talk about the game of the weekend, which would be number 4 Penn State at number 3 Iowa. Felder, this is your kind of game, right? A defensive struggle expected. You know what the Vegas total is for this one, the over-under?
I don't know it, but I'm going to guess 46.
It's 41, dude.
Wow.
It's 41, man. That's like Service Academy stuff.
I like it.
That's like Army-Navy. I mean,
We're talking about a tight game.
Yeah. So we're going to
talk. And not tight as in points. Tight as in, like, we're going to get in and we're going to get out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So we will break that game down.
And it's not a night game, right?
That's correct. 4 o'clock Eastern kick.
That's a night game.
No, that's an afternoon affair.
It will be dark in the fourth quarter.
I don't know. I mean, it kicks at 3 o'clock local time. I don't know, because this game's going to hum.
I live here.
Well, you don't live in Iowa City. You live in the Midwest, right? But
yeah, I live in the same time zone. It's going to be dark.
It gets dark by 6 o'clock where you are?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Dang.
Yeah. Yeah, well, dude, it's going to be dark as hell.
Well, regardless, it's a 4 o'clock Eastern kick, Penn State at Iowa. We will talk about that in great detail when Tobias Wilborn joins the show coming up in about 40 minutes from now. So, Felder, I want to get into the Felder 5, but you also have some thoughts about last week. You wrote something down about how you're angry because you're sick of people talking to you about stuff they haven't watched. Do you want to get that off your chest before we jump into this Felder 5?
Yeah, well, one, I want you to do an actual formal apology to Temple.
All right, listen, Temple, I'm sorry that you guys... But no, let me back up. That's not how you start an apology. Let me retract that. That was a very accusatory apology. Here's the deal. I saw Temple play week one against Rutgers. Now, Rutgers is an improved football team in Greg Schiano's second year back at that program. They got steamrolled. They looked unprepared. Since then, Temple has improved. Now, I've watched DeJuan Mathis. I've actually followed this kid since he came out of high school.
Yes.
He transferred out of Georgia. He started Georgia's season last year, which is crazy to think about when they lost.
Start against Arkansas.
Or when they won at Arkansas, but they looked terrible in the first half. And you're like, man, Sam Pittman, this guy might actually be a good coach. Turns out he is. Turns out Arkansas is on the rise. But DeJuan Mathis transferred to Temple. Last couple weeks, these guys have reeled off wins against Memphis. And
that's a big one.
That is a big one, although Memphis is not the AAC program that we are accustomed to seeing. They're kind of getting it done with smoke and mirrors. But I don't want to take...
And yet they still beat Mississippi State.
They did, thanks to some very questionable... officiating from the SEC. Listen, Temple, I owe you an apology. You guys are better. You are improving. And that's what it's all about in the month of October, man. You should be a football program, a team that is getting better. The Owls are getting better. So I apologize to y'all. Having said that, come get your whooping tonight against the Bearcats. Come get that whooping.
Oh, yeah, they play Cincinnati. Yeah, they're going to lose. I mean, that's not a knock on them. I am very excited to see that game's going to get thrown on the iPad for sure.
Yeah, a little Friday Night Lights, man. 7 o'clock kick. That's 6 o'clock your time.
Yeah, I know. We'll be in the midst, deep in the midst of PBS Kids Family Night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know about this?
I don't, but Felder, you are a man of many routines. So if this is a Friday night tradition, then what does this look like? Is this live PBS or is this on demand watching? What are we talking about?
Live PBS Kids. They are running like a marathon of their new show, Alma's Way.
Okay.
She's a little Puerto Rican girl who is kind of like finding her way in the world. And we're going to watch 2 hours of that.
Oh,
that'll be on. Well, that'll be on during Burger Night.
Now you're taking down BLs while this is happening, right? Like 100%. kicking back some candy corn, maybe a little turkey.
Absolutely.
Like we're imbibing. Okay, cool. Yeah. Hey, I respect that.
That and making and burgers. I got to double fry these fries here in a little bit. Oh. I got to reset up my entire counter situation today.
Yeah, that's a bad beat, bro. Listen, you're an MVP husband. You did what your wife asked you to do, which was clear them countertops. And they're not coming until next week, so you can go ahead and spread back out. Yes, good
times. I get to do it again.
Yeah, but them countertops is clean, aren't they?
Yeah. Okay, so, no, the thing that I've been getting upset about and this is, you know what? I'm going to, instead of how angry I am about everything all the time, I'm going to narrow my focus, Hartzell. I'm really frustrated with the way that people have been discussing turnovers. The Fresno State Hawaii game, Iowa as a football team, people keep talking about all these turnovers as being lucky or they're blaming someone for turnovers when it's not their fault. Like, you don't get to talk trash about Jake Haener who a guy who does everything right. He does everything the coaches ask of him. Has he made a couple mistakes? Yes, he made two mistakes against Hawaii. He made two very big mistakes. But guess what? Those guys put on shoes too. Those guys put on their pants too. Those guys make plays. He had four interceptions against Hawaii and a strip sack. Five turnovers. Strip sack? How? The strip sack's not on him. Happened so quickly, that's on the left tackle. You messed up, my man. You cost us that. And while everybody looks at the quarterback for it, the reality is it's somebody else's fault. And I'm not absolving quarterbacks of guilt. I think there's a lot of things that we should blame quarterbacks for beyond turnovers. I think we should blame quarterbacks for when guys get thrown out of the game for targeting. You put that ball there and then led your receiver into basically a hospital ball and got a guy thrown out. That's not a good thing. You messed up. You shouldn't have thrown that football. But the point being, the final interception where Haener does get this team back in a position to win, Haener does get this team back with an opportunity to win the game. Ball's on two hands. Wide receiver doesn't catch it, goes to the defensive back who intercepts it, kills the threat, ends the game. That's not on the quarterback. But too many people are just looking at numbers. And then on the flip side of that, people are looking at Iowa's numbers and saying it's not sustainable. But every time I've done radio this week, every time I've talked to people this week, the big thing that I always ask them is, so which turnovers are luck and which ones do you think are skill? And no one ever has an answer. You know why no one has an answer? You know why?
Well, most of them aren't watching the game, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, and most of them aren't going back and rewatching the turnovers and then rewatching them again and then taking notes on them. So if you don't know why, and fuck this.
We earned the E.
Look, if you go through Iowa turnovers against Maryland, what first quarter, 9:27, pressure, low throw. That's a forced interception. Second quarter, 14:50 mark. Tackle, force ball out, bang. That's a forced fumble. That's a repeatable result. That's a thing that that player can do that consistently, right? Second quarter, 14:04. Hands in passing lane, tipped interception. Because they play zone, everybody's looking for the football. You have more people to rally to make that interception. That's a forced interception. You can get a given interception. Second quarter, 10:27, where they undercut and take it. I think undercutting is a remarkable skill that you have to have, but that's a I'll say that one is of luck. Fourth quarter, 13:21. They look like this is my favorite interception of the season. Like Iowa does something here that's remarkable. They line up in cover two. They roll it down to cover three. They take it away. And so in cover two, where's the open spot in cover two? Do you know, Hartzell?
I don't know. I could guess, but I'll probably sound ridiculous.
The middle of the field.
That's what I was going to guess. Damn it. Go with your gut.
Yeah. That's why they invented Tampa 2, where the middle linebacker runs the hole. Because that spot is so vulnerable that you have to find a way to help yourself out. Well, they show that look. Talia thinks, okay, I've got cover 2. I can hit my guy in the middle.
Bro, Talia got humbled on last Friday night.
It's not
boy.
His fault. It's fine. It's like, this is the thing. I'm trying to think of the proper analogy to use with respect to Iowa and how they play, but like, you grow up, you know what? I'll use my family, my kid as an analogy here. When you grow up making your own pizza and making your own waffles, making all this stuff from scratch, it's not hard. It's just the way, mm-hmm. right?
I follow you.
So for Iowa, these kids in this program, disguising coverages and playing zone coverage is just the way. You either get on board with it or you get out of the way. And they play zone and they play two shell, rotate to three. Every play, they do the same thing. And when you're indoctrinated in this, when that's your what's the right word? Is it ethos or pathos?
I think it's ethos.
When that's what you are, that's like, when that's your, yes, you're right, it's ethos. When that's your character, you don't have to pretend because it's who you are. That's who you're playing. And so when they rotate from two to three, you got your rat in the hole and you can steal it. That to me is a beautiful interception. That's a forced interception. They did a lot of the same things against Iowa State. They did a lot. Their defensive line, they always know, get your hands up. If you can't, if you're not going to sack the quarterback, put your hands up. Hey, ho, hip hop, hooray, ho. Nice. Put your, they throw their hands up.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, first of all, one quick thing. I watched Maryland and Iowa last week because that was my, that's my dog pick, okay? So, first, I mean, we will be, we're on a redemption arc this week. I'm back. I've got a
Don't we this.
I've got
I won last week.
I've got a two-pack of picks for my that's my dog coming.
I know, you're trying to make up
show.
Ground. I was going to bring that up ground. When we got to it.
But Talia, five picks. Iowa flexed on them. And you want to talk about a second quarter horror story in College Park. Yeah, Iowa scored 31 points on Maryland, who actually led that game 7-3 before things got way out of control. Now Iowa comes home, and they've obviously got Penn State coming up on Saturday afternoon. So
I have that as the top two in the Felder Five. So we can, because we'll have plenty to talk about in that football game.
Yeah, we will. By the way, just to bring it back to your Jake Haner discussions with Fresno State Hawaii, I'm pretty sure that game kicked at like 11 Eastern. Nobody in their right mind was watching that game other than you. And if they said they were lying or they're a degenerate gambler. Isn't Jake Haner hurt? Like, isn't he just like badly banged up? He's gotten his ass kicked the last couple weeks.
Yeah, he's been hurt for 2 weeks and he keeps going out there and doing it.
Right.
And I think it's admirable. And I love that we've got this like national platform to talk about it, because you're right. A lot of people did not watch that game. A lot of people just know him as the guy that that transferred from Washington. My lasting memory of Jake Haner has been replaced. My original lasting memory of Jake Haner was him putting Deshaun Watson in the water, baby. We did a dunk take at the Elite 11. And Haner's the guy that put the ball right on the nose. He's one of the most accurate passers you're going to find. He put the ball right on the nose for the dunk tank, put Deshaun Watson in the drip.
Man, shout out to dunk tanks. I haven't seen one of those in a while.
Yeah, man.
Was it one of the see-through dunk tanks where you could actually see him go through? Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to find that. You know what? I'm finding that video. I'm going to put the video in the chat.
Classy as hell. All right, you want to jump into the Felder Five? We got Nubias jumping by. He's going to join us in about a half an hour, but we like to go off on some tangents here. So without further ado, let's jump into the Felder Five. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Oh, by the way, I found the video. So that is in the doc now. It's in the doc right underneath Tripp's name. Boom. Okay, so let's get to the Felder Five. It's actually a Felder Six. You got an hang on. You got an and one.
Yeah, you want to do that one first?
Yeah.
Well,
from the bottom to the top.
So I've been looking at the schedule. Half of the AP top 10 is on the road. Okay, mm-hmm. Five teams are playing away from home. That includes Oklahoma. It's not a true road game. They get Texas at the Cotton Bowl.
Sure.
Who's going down, Felder? Because college football this season, I mean, we've seen it. You had four top 10 teams go down last week. Like,
it's not just this season. This is just what college football is.
Not recently. I'll push back on that just for a little bit,
really?
Man. Yeah, like –
I think you're only thinking about what? Clemson, Bama, Georgia?
I'm just talking about major upsets in college football, man. There haven't last year.
Ohio State lost to Purdue?
That was like 4 years ago.
That was 2 years ago.
I think it was 3 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago, man. Like, my point is, that's one upset. Like, there haven't been earth-shattering upsets in college football. And let me look. Ohio State, Purdue. That was 2018, my man.
I don't think any of these upsets are earth-shattering. I think it's just what football is.
Yeah.
That was 18?
Yeah, that was 2018.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's the last Big Ten loss Ryan Day's had. I mean, Ohio State's just rolling through.
He's been the coach
games.
There since 2018?
He's in his fourth year. Yeah.
Oh, man. Time is really getting away from me.
It's just a flat circle, man.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. I think
spaghetti monster.
I think there's gonna be some upheaval. And honestly, let me look. It's on your Felder Five.
Yeah. You got, that's the one? We'll get to it. Let's talk about it when we get to it.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to go. I got a bonus six. You know I love the folks in Greenville.
Yeah. Pirates.
First down, Pirates. You can find me in Ficklin. I am very curious to see what happens. You see, like, this team, if you look at the numbers, they are not good. They can, 27% of their third downs is what they convert.
Okay.
That's not a good number. But I still think they're going to beat UCF.
Well, let's talk about the UCF side of this equation, right?
Sure.
You're on, what, a true freshman backup quarterback?
Yeah.
Bowser's questionable, probably won't play. Like, UCF's coming off of a bad loss to Navy, man.
There we go. Yeah.
So, yeah, this you're right. But, hey, man, ECU started the year 0-2.
Yeah. They should have been 1-1.
Should have been 1-1. They got their heart broken against South Carolina.
Yes.
But since then, Marshall, Charleston Southern, Tulane, like.
I did not expect them to win the last two games. Which could lead to another discussion where what's going on with Marshall?
Great question.
I don't understand. Like, I thought they were going to win Conference USA. And now they just. Do you think it's the early games that they played that have caused the problems? Like, I don't understand what happened to them.
Well, you got a new head coach, right? You lose Doc Holliday, who had been there forever. And, yeah. You know, maybe, listen, I think when you've got some of these long-term head coaches who leave a program and everybody just expects them to just keep going out there and doing their thing, it's not that easy, man. Like, it's not.
Which, you know what? This is a 5.5 Virginia Tech.
Sure.
Because you mentioned the longtime head coach and then transitioning to a new coach. I still don't know if they found their identity.
Well, they got a monster game coming up on Saturday night. I know
Notre Dame. They're
coming off the bye. Notre Dame's got to play another team coming off a bye. I think they've got six or seven of those on their schedule this year.
Sure.
It's a great spot for Virginia Tech to be in. And it's a great spot.
What can they do?
It's a great spot, frankly, for Justin Fuente to try to save his job because
right. You
lose this one and that chatter, which got significantly quieter after you beat UNC to start the year, starts to ramp back up again. Yeah. Starts to ramp back up again.
It's one of those wins where, like, heck yeah, dog, we beat a top 10 team. And then it's like, oh, they suck too.
You know what? Honestly, and we're already bouncing around all, and I'm not trying to take over your Felder
Five
here,
like it.
But I feel that same way about UCLA LSU.
Yes.
UCLA yes. goes out, they beat LSU. Ah, we're back. Maybe LSU.
Arizona State put the blocks to them.
Yeah, but, you know, like, that LSU win, like, LSU might be a 6-6 football team, kids. Like,
they're not good.
You know what I mean?
They have no run game, and they have one wide receiver that they can throw the ball to. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I mean, their best player is out for the season, more than likely. I don't think Derek Stingley suits back up again in a college game.
Sure, defensively, yes.
And you just wonder.
Why would he?
Yeah, correct. They can't run the football, and they're underdogs at Kentucky this week.
Oh, I didn't realize they were underdogs.
That's a fascinating game. I mean, you know, everyone was
How
like.
How do you say this guy's name? Kayshawn, what is his? Is it Boutte?
Yeah, it's Boutte.
Boutte? I watch the games on mute, so it's all. And I didn't pull up the pronunciation guy just now.
Yeah.
Boutte. Okay. He's remarkable.
He's great. Yeah, but that's it.
Like, I find him to be remarkable to watch. So fun.
But the problem is.
You can't just throw the ball to him every. You know what they remind me of? They remind me of Colorado with Laviska Shenault.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, guy was a one-man wrecking crew.
It's like, hey. He has to do. You have to do everything.
Didn't they used to? They used to snap it to him like in goal line situations,
yes.
Right? They just go wildcat with Shenault. Here's the thing about LSU too, though. They can't run the football, which means when they've got leads, they can't hang on to them.
No, you have to just keep. Well, I think that's an identity issue from a football standpoint. If who you are is throwing the football, then just keep doing that. The problem is there's a team that Ed Orgeron wants to be, and then there's the team that he has.
Okay.
This team is, and listen, I don't give this guy many compliments. I think he's largely a garbage person, but I think if Mike Leach had the same football team, they'd be in a better position.
Wow.
Do you disagree?
I don't know. I mean, the thing for me is
he's a better coach than Ed Orgeron.
I think you can look at LSU's national championship from 2 years ago, and we can definitively say that was lightning in a bottle. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to say
players,
from players to the coordinator. Yeah, like the whole thing. You know,
it wasn't Ed Orgeron made.
Correct, but it you know, was it a fluke? No, it wasn't a fluke. They won those games, but in terms of the trajectory of the program, it can't be sustained. And the fall off, which we saw last year, pandemic season, blah blah blah. Okay, sure, you can shove that aside, but now you go out, you lose your season opener to UCLA.
Yep.
You're up 17-0 at home at night to Auburn, and you lose.
Uh-huh.
Now you got to go to Kentucky. You're an underdog there. And, oh, by the way, you still got Florida. You still got Alabama. You still got A&M. You still got Arkansas. You still got all those games left on the schedule.
I mean, A&M, who cares about that?
Well, you want to talk about a disappointing team. Probably the most overrated team of the season. Preseason top five.
Let's get this raise pushed on through, baby.
Well, that, but you're going to be 3-3 after this weekend. 3-3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disaster.
It's not going to look pretty this weekend. Do you? I have a question. I don't mind the way that Ole Miss lost to Alabama. I think Alabama was taking time to prove a point. We've talked about this, correct? Did we talk about this on Hand in the Dirt? No, we haven't. We haven't talked about this at all. What was your? I want to hear before we get to number five on the Felder Five. And I know we got 20 minutes before New Bias comes on. But what was your takeaway from the Alabama Ole Miss game?
I mean, Ole Miss went for it on every fourth down, which they were supposed to do. And I think they went, 1-5?
Sure.
So that's it.
And see, my takeaway from that football game, and this is one of those things where I get it. I'm a weirdo. I'm a psycho. Like, I do things. I charted Alabama's personnel packages. They ran 50% 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end. They ran 25% 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends. And on, 84% of the 12 personnel included Kendall Randolph and not Jaleel Billingsley. Kendall Randolph is a 4-star offensive lineman. Like, he went to Alabama as a 4-star offensive lineman.
Yeah.
That they now have wearing number 85. So they're playing football with 6 linemen and Cameron Latu. So 6.5 linemen, if you will. But my takeaway from that football game is Alabama, Nick Saban felt like he needed to prove a point. Obviously pissed off about the only 91 yards against Florida on the ground. Even more upset about, in critical moments, his offensive line not enabling them to move the ball. Florida had how many stops did they have on third and short, fourth and short? They had a bunch of fourth and short and third and short stops. And Nick Saban was like, no. That's not who we are. So we're going to run the football. Like, it's one of those things where he said, Brian Robinson, your career high carries is 13. Guess what? You're going to get 36 today.
Yeah.
They forced the issue. They proved a point. I think it's very interesting, and I don't think it was proving a point to Ole Miss or Lane Kiffin. I don't think it was proving a point to even to Georgia or to the SEC as a whole. I think he needed to prove it to himself that these kids could do the thing that he really does want to do, which is run the ball.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The old, you know, you've brought this up, and you know, I think you're dead on. But the soap opera of college football, you know, that people are more attracted to that part of football than the actual X's and O's.
Yeah.
You know, the reality show element of college football.
Sure.
You know, the Lane Kiffin staring into the camera, dropping the headset, get your popcorn ready, and then getting blanked in the first half. Like, I don't know. I mean, he's owned it. Like,
sure.
They're giving away free popcorn to fans at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium on Saturday. I mean, that, you know, everybody
sure,
gets free popcorn. Yeah, but it's just, I don't know, man. Like,
he also, here's the thing, and I think because I operate from a space where everybody in the entire world thinks that you're dumb. Everyone thinks that you're dumb and they know more than you. And at the minimum, everyone thinks they know as much as you, which is why we have a humongous problem in this country where people don't ask questions. They just think they have answers. And now I sound like Wayne, don't I? But, and I'm sure Wayne's experienced this as well. This is, like, Lane Kiffin is way more intelligent, especially specifically from a football sense, than people want to give him credit for, because they think he's a goofball or, you know, spoiled brat or whatever. This dude, if he tipped his head over to the side, more football would fall out of his ear than most people pick up in an entire lifetime.
Sure.
He knows his team's not as good as Alabama. And more specifically, he knows he don't have the bodies on the defensive side to run with Alabama. Does he amp it up? Does he rev it up? Sure. And I love the way that he played. And we'll, I guess this goes back to A&M. Lane Kiffin is, in many ways, shameless about this, which I respect. Because when you know that you don't have the stuff, you still try to make it work. So how do we make it work? We're trying to be as flashy as possible and put a lot of stuff on film. Hopefully we can confuse them. And when we confuse them, we have to hit these big plays. They had a lot of misses. Not misses because the coverage was so good. Nobody walked away from that game thinking, oh my God, Alabama's defense is otherworldly. You walked away from that game thinking, we've got some errant passes. We have guys who couldn't block up front, which led to disruption of play calls that would have been open. I'm not wrong for that, right?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
You saw areas of opportunity for Ole Miss. They just couldn't capitalize.
They moved the ball between the 20s. But,
yeah.
You know, hey, it's fourth and one from the two, or fourth and goal, whatever it was. It's like, yeah, you have to go for it. Like, you have to. That's not the wrong call. But, hey, man, maybe you don't try running up the gut on Bama. Maybe you try to roll Corral out, you know, get him on the edge or something. Get him in a look, it didn't work. Nobody expected Ole Miss to win that game anyway. So now you've got to regroup, and I've heard some interesting stuff this week about Lane Kiffin coming off of losses. The next week they're not great. Going back to the FAU days. Last year against Ole Miss, last year they lost to Alabama. They come back the next week, they lose to Arkansas.
Which is, that's number five on the Felder five, which good, we're only at five. I'm going to pick up the tempo. This is very simple for me. Whose style prevails, right? Whose style prevails in this football game? Because they're both coming off losses. They're both coming off devastating losses. They're both coming off brutal, beat-you-up physical losses. Does Sam Pittman's slow, methodical style win, or does Lane Kiffin make this game complete chaos and they get a dub?
I mean, I'm leaning Arkansas, bro, because I feel like Sam Pittman and those guys are a lot more comfortable in their own skin. And again, I go back to what happened with Arkansas last year, because the body of work, the sample size for Arkansas, not nearly as great, because you've got a head coach who's in his second year. But you go back and look at Arkansas last year, man, they'd lose games. They'd come back the next week and they'd get right with a win.
Yeah. It's about style prevailing.
Yeah.
Arkansas is not going to win this game if it's Lane Kiffin's style.
By the way,
they're not going to win.
You know what happened in this game last year? I mean, Matt Corral, he threw a six-pack of interceptions. Six. Yeah. Two of them
because
were
of
returned for
coverage.
Touchdowns. Yeah. Two of them were returned for tutties. So
the thing I'm worried about in this game, and this goes back to kind of being like a kind of like a film rat, but Lane Kiffin put a lot on tape last week.
Fair. Good point.
That's not it's Arkansas is the type of team that that's not beneficial against. There are some teams, and this dates all the way back to him being at Tennessee or being at USC. Kiffin does a really amazing job of putting so much stuff on tape that you have to practice for that he wastes your practice time. Now, have you ever heard that before?
No.
Yeah, that's the thing that I don't think a lot of folks realize. He puts a lot of stuff on tape that you have to practice for, a lot of motions, a lot of shifts, and then a lot of route combos that you have to practice for. And so even though he's never going to run those plays, it's all on tape. And it can lead to confusion. It can lead to him buying that extra second or second and a half that he needs for his quarterback to make a play down the field. We saw it at FAU a lot. And I think with him now having put all that stuff on tape in an effort to actually win a game, not an effort to confuse, but to try to win a game, to try to stay in a football game, really. I am very curious how Arkansas responds to that because their defense is so vanilla that they don't have to waste the time on individual checks and moves, not nearly as much as some other teams do. And so now you've just shown your hand. And if you don't keep your kids out of the street, they're bound to get ran over. And I think you might be right about Arkansas.
It's a horrible image. No, I mean, the other part too is like Barry Odom.
Is that not
man.
A thing you've said? You say like when you play cards?
Well, about the kids getting run over.
Keep your kids out of the street. Like yeah, so I just looking at my cards. Well, keep your kids out of the street.
I've never said it like that. I also live on a road where the speed limit's like 55 miles an hour, and that's a horrifying thought. But
sorry.
No, that's okay. I go back to Barry Odom, man. Like we talked about this when he was going into the
and
Texas
Sam
game.
Carter.
Yeah, Barry Odom's the defensive coordinator, man. The guy's a former head coach at Missouri. He knows what Lane Kiffin wants to do. He knew what Steve Sarkisian wanted to do in the Texas game. They're going to be fine. Like there's no shame in getting your ass kicked by Georgia this season.
No.
You're talking about a national championship caliber team.
We'll talk about Georgia in a second. Because that's at number three. Number four, Bailey Zappe and Frank Harris, what's the point total for this game? Western Kentucky, UTSA.
Oh, meep, huh? You want to go Roadrunners and Tops? Hang on a sec. Yeah. I'll pull this up for you. I love Bailey Zappe. That guy is a secret in college football. I know Western Kentucky's, what, like 1-4?
Yeah, but they've played some tough teams.
They've played two Big Ten teams and Army.
Yeah.
Hang on a sec. I'll look this up for you. But, yeah, I like where your head's at here, bro. I like it.
We watched the Michigan State game with sound on.
Oh God, I forgot about this.
Because my wife went to Michigan State, so we have sound on.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, buddy. It sucks.
The over/under in UTSA Western Kentucky live from Bowling Green on Saturday night, 70, bro.
Yeah. They're gonna go over that.
Well, let's talk about this because. Didn't Western Kentucky basically go and just grab everyone from Houston Baptist on the coaching staff and bring them to WKU?
Yes.
Yeah. Bailey Zappe will throw the football 55 or 60 times in this game.
And let's not sell Frank Harris short. He has been one of my favorite evolutions in college football. Like to start out, I kind of chart my time in Chicago with Harris because I got here in 2018. And then 2019, we see him kind of get on the scene, and then he's much better in 2020 and now 2021. He's one of the premier quarterbacks in college football. This guy is really good, and they're winning games.
Yeah, UTSA is undefeated, man. 5-0.
And I know I get it. You people aren't watching them, but the Zachary Franklin and who's the other guy they got? Joshua – what is his name? Joshua – it's not Joshua Harris, I don't believe. It's UTSA receivers, Joshua Cephas. They're good. They're really good. So I love watching them play. So I'm just going to say, folks, get into it. If you're living the degenerate life, get into it even more.
Well, hang on. Just real quick on the degenerate life, because I know our man Tripp is listening. Tripp, Western Kentucky has been an over machine this year. Okay, they have played
They hit last week with Michigan State?
Yeah, they over-under was 66 in that game. They lost 48-31. Yeah. They can't get stops, and all they do pass. All they do is pass.
The whole time.
So the over in Western Kentucky games this year is 4-0. Just putting it out there, I know they got to get to 70 on Saturday. That's a lot of points. But
UTSA is really good, too. Like, these are both two top 30 in college football offenses.
Is this game on TV? It's got to be. I mean, this screams like a CBS Sports Network or something, right? Yeah, we'll find it.
Every game's on TV, right? This is on Stadium, my man. Watchstadium.com/live.
Oh, baby. We're going to be getting Felder commercials during this thing.
You are. You're going to get a Felder halftime report.
Yeah, Bailey Zappi. Dude's already got 1,700 yards passing in four games.
Yeah. Do you know what their backup's name is?
No.
Yo. You want to hear what the backup's name is?
You're talking about the Western Kentucky backup quarterback?
Backup quarterback.
Go ahead. Hit me with it.
They got Zappi and Zobby.
Wow.
Number three on the Felder five. And the good thing is we got new bias coming on, so we can get to the 2-1 of this. But number three, the Bo Nix Renaissance versus the UGA Killissance.
Mm. Nice phrasing here.
You like that?
Yeah, real nice.
Came up with that last night. I mean, Georgia's not special defensively.
Expand on that. What do you mean?
They're not doing anything that's remarkable in terms of how they play.
Well, in terms of personnel, though, it's a different story.
That's a completely different story. They're not this isn't exotic blitzes. And like, I think Cincinnati is more inventive defensively than Georgia.
Interesting.
And that's none of this is a not. Georgia's doing football better. They're doing football the way that I like football to be done. I think Georgia and Iowa are probably my two favorite teams to watch. I know what they're going to do. I know what's coming. It's merely a question of, can you stop it? And, like, Clemson is more inventive defensively than Georgia. But Georgia is a team. We've all been to bars, right? We've all been in bar fights. Everybody's done that. Georgia is the guy. He's not loud. He is drinking out of the pitcher. And then here's who Georgia is. Georgia's the football team that sidles up to your girlfriend and then looks at you and is like, what do you want to do? Because do you see all these muscles I have? I'm going to use them to hurt you. And then you're like, well, we should just go to a different bar. And I love that. The level of intimidation, the level of... Georgia could line up on defense and tell you exactly what they're going to do. And then you'd be like, well, I think maybe we should just take a knee this play, because doesn't matter,
right?
We can't stop them.
You're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy.
Yeah. Who sings that song? Are you tough enough? Are you tough enough? You know what I'm talking about?
Nah, bro.
That's a trip. Get in here. That's a song, right?
Yeah, that's a song.
Okay. Yeah, okay, well, who sings it then, tough guy?
The Fabulous Thunderbirds.
Hey, nobody ever heard of that song, man.
Bro.
How's it go again?
Are you tough enough?
There it is.
Hey.
Yeah, this is a song.
Hey, man, we don't have the rights to play that song, Trip.
Hang on.
Cut that off, partner. Oh, boy.
That's it. That's all. It is a song.
Trash.
I mean, listen, the point being, Georgia is they're monsters. And I love the way they play. like, there's, we live in this insane world today, right? Where, and I get it, bullying is bad and it makes people feel bad and it hurts your feelings. But sometimes you need bullies to teach people lessons. And Georgia is that bully.
Okay, can we talk about the flip side of this coin, though?
Sure.
Bo Nix, voodoo magic.
Yeah.
I've seen this story before, man. I've seen it. I've seen it with this program before.
Yeah. This is usually it ends like M Night, like an M Night Shyamalan movie. Am I wrong?
No. Listen, you're not. you're not wrong. I. This is Georgia's first real road game of the year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come at me with Charlotte. Don't come at me with Nashville when 80% of that stadium was wearing red.
Sure.
This is a road game at Jordan-Hare. It is a rivalry game. Auburn's coming off of an emotional savior season type of win.
Do you think more Georgia alums move to Nashville or Charlotte? Or Jacksonville?
That's a good question, man. I mean, Georgia fans are you got a ton of Georgia in like that Savannah Sea Island community there, not far from Jacksonville.
When you get out of college, you have to move somewhere where you can get a real job.
Yeah, I mean, they're all in Atlanta. I think Charlotte's a good – Charlotte probably more so than Nashville. Yeah,
Atlanta's number one. I was wondering, what do you think number two is?
Yeah, Charlotte's not a bad spot. Charleston, dude, they're everywhere. God, they're everywhere. Yeah. Here's my thing.
I think Charleston's the wave if your folks got money and it can float you for a little bit.
Which most of these Georgia alums have got, for sure.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, man. I'm not calling for Auburn to win this game. But
okay.
I don't think this thing's going to be done and dusted in the first half or the first quarter. Okay. Like we've seen, like Georgia has
Arkansas,
gone out.
Vandy, obviously.
They stepped on Vanderbilt in the first quarter. It was 35-0. They stepped on Arkansas in the first quarter. It was 21-0. Don't come at me with South Carolina. Like, I think this is the best team that Georgia has played thus far this season. Let's look at where Clemson is right now. I don't think that's a reach. And I don't think it's
the best team.
Okay.
I think Arkansas is better than Auburn.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think this is a more difficult matchup for Georgia.
Yeah. Like, listen, man. First of all, what's Georgia doing at quarterback? We still don't know. You got Stetson Bennett. You got the mailman who threw the ball 11 times against Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm glad
you called him the mailman. Do people know about that?
That's his nickname, right? I didn't make that up.
Do you know why?
Go ahead. Tell the people.
He wore a mail carrier's hat, like a cap, at every single camp that he was at.
The mailman.
Yeah, he literally wore a mail carrier cap at every event he was at. So, like, it was really easy to pick him up. I have a ton of notes about this guy from he was in. Where was Chris Robinson and Sam Ehlinger? That was in Dallas, I believe. Nope, that was in Houston. I think he was in Houston. I think he was in New Orleans. Saw him in Atlanta. Like, I've seen this. I watched him play as a high school kid at a bunch of different camps. And he always had a mail carrier cap on, which is why they call him the mailman.
Yeah. Listen, like, Auburn's secondary is not to be trifled with, man. You got Smoke Monday back there.
Yeah. And he'll smoke you.
Yeah, like, here's the thing. So we know what Georgia wants to do.
Do we know the status of Owen Papo?
I don't. The linebacker, I don't.
Yeah, so it's fine. I'm efforting.
Here's all I'm saying. Again, I'm not telling you that Auburn is going to win this football game. But
Game time decision.
I'm telling you they're going to be hanging around in this thing.
Oh, man, I forgot that Derek Mason is their defensive coordinator.
Yes, sir.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's really good. Like, obviously he didn't stop Georgia when he was the coach at Vanderbilt, but the guy knows how to put together a game plan.
Yes.
Like, he's not going to be in over his skis here. All I'm saying is you're going on the road. There's 90,000 drunk Auburn fans yelling at you.
Sure.
And you're trotting out, like, if you're trotting out the mailman or a dinged up JT Daniels in this game, I think Auburn's got a shot because – I've seen Bo Nix do this before. I've seen this Auburn program do this before. It's a rivalry game in which Auburn has been getting dominated in the last, I think, 7 out of the last 8 times it's been Georgia. Uh-huh. So,
except the only other time, out of that 7 out of the last 8, the one they won was what, the Not the kick six. It's the other thing.
It wasn't the Hail Mary. No, it was 2017. They beat Georgia. I know what you're talking about, though. That was the...
What's the name of that? Why does Auburn have so many games that have plays that are, like, named stuff?
Auburn Jesus, man. You don't know about this?
No, what?
It's a real thing. I mean, it's just... It's voodoo. I'm telling you, man. It just... This program, Auburn, this rivalry, Georgia and Auburn, Deep South's oldest...
Sure.
I love how
they had to add the disclaimer on top of it.
What, the deep?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we all know that. I mean, the South's oldest is, you know, UVA and UNC.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me eat Whole Foods. Yeah. Listen.
Hey, man, we're bringing healthy food to the country.
Yeah, it's just, you know, y'all like to shop and buy cheese from the expensive part of the store. That's
2017?
Okay.
They didn't beat Georgia in 20. Oh, they did, 40-17. So what game am I thinking? My whole time, I think my brain is just trash.
That was the same year as the kick six. So
that's 2014?
14, yes.
Holy crap.
Yeah, because you had those two plays in this.
They lost to Georgia 34-7 in 2014.
Maybe it was 15.
I think it was 13. Was it 13?
Man, we're getting old.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
So we've got Nubias Wilborn joining us live from the airport. You were boarding a plane to go to Iowa City, correct?
Well, actually, no, I've actually hit it. It's Auburn, but I'm finishing up my Penn State stuff today. So, yeah, we talked to Penn State. But, yeah, I would be headed to Iowa, but I'm actually – oh, geez, I guess I'm announcing this kind of on the radio. But nonetheless, yeah, we're at the airport.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk Penn State-Iowa while you get ready to get on your plane. Felder and I have been saving this discussion for you to join us, but, you know – it's obviously one of the games of the week. I'm curious just to kind of get your pulse on the state of this program, because this is a monster game. Penn State's coming off a nice little defensive shutout last week. Iowa's coming off a demolition of Maryland. How do you read this one, Nubias?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, guys. A lot of people talk about the Indiana game as a revenge game. I scoffed at it because, I mean, Penn State had beaten Indiana 23 out of the 25 times they played since Penn State joined the Big Ten. They own Indiana. Everybody knows it. It is what it is. And that type of thing doesn't change, typically speaking. And Penn State knew that last year was a blip. That wasn't a revenge game. If you do believe in revenge games, it'd be this game. Because let me tell you guys, Iowa came in there with that little bumblebee formation thing they do before the game, coming out that southeast tunnel over there at Beaver Stadium when it's all empty. And they came out and beat the brakes off Penn State for four quarters. I mean, if some of the things that happened in that game happened on the street, there'd be people in jail. It was just, you know what I'm talking about, dog. Like, you play, like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Just those extra 3 seconds, all that stuff. I mean, playing through the hollow of the whistle. And, you know, by then, Penn State was already 0-4. They were a battered, beaten, broken team in Iowa with Kirk Ferentz, who's from Pennsylvania, who that game matters to him. It means something to him, being from Western PA, knowing what Penn State is. They didn't let up on Penn State. They bludgeoned those guys for four quarters. If I was on that team, I would still be hot about what Iowa did to us. That's how I would feel, and that's why this game is important. Not just for, you know, obviously, you know, 3-4 matchup, it's huge. For Iowa, I think it's bigger because Iowa is in a situation where they might not play another ranked opponent this year. The Iowa State win doesn't look as good as it did, you know, 2-3 weeks ago because, you know, we don't know how good Iowa State is since they play Oklahoma, so on and so forth. You look at Penn State. They beat Auburn, which, you know, I'll learn some more about Auburn pretty soon here, but, I mean, I don't know how good Auburn really is yet. They beat Wisconsin. What does that win really mean after Wisconsin got beat up by Notre Dame? Or Notre Dame who got beat up by Cincinnati. This game is really the tough test that both these teams will see, but if Penn State were to lose this game, they still have Ohio State to play, they still have Michigan to play, and Michigan State. Michigan State's ranked ninth right now. So, like, Penn State still has opportunities to get wins against ranked opponents to bolster itself. That ain't going to be the case for Iowa.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how Iowa tries to loads up to play this game. I think, realistically, looking at it, for you, Nubias, when you look at this football game, and you know this Penn State team pretty well, how important is it going to be to push the ball down the field to Jahan Dotson to challenge Iowa vertically so that they can create some space underneath for some of the other receivers?
It's huge. I mean, he's their best player. He's the guy they try to get involved. They try to do unique things where they have him running screens. I mean, Dotson's thrown two passes this year because one of the problems that Penn State has is the offensive line just cannot hold pass blocking or run blocking. So offensive coordinator Mike Yerkes has to get really creative and deceptive to make it work. And you're going to see deep plays to Jahan Dotson to attempt it. You're going to see Parker Washington getting deep because he has come along as a second receiver. One of those three tight ends, either Tyler Warren or Theo Johnson, one of them is going to have to step up. By the way, you've seen Tyler Warren, who was a former high school quarterback, he's run for two touchdowns. He's run out of a Wildcat formation. So Penn State, they're going to get weird against Iowa. They're going to need to because that's a brutal defense there. I don't know how much I trust Iowa's offense.
Yep.
But that defense is legit, man.
Nubias, this game feels, as an observer, like the first team to 20 wins. I mean, is that fair?
I mean, I can see that because Penn State is good as – and Sean Clifford has been good. And by the way, Sean Clifford's fast, and I really – it's a shame that we don't write about him enough as being fast.
I'm going to hop in here. I never in the times that I covered him in recruiting did I – ever think about how athletic he was. He was always just a very good quarterback that could control the intermediate space and then hit you over the top from time to time. Never, like, you want to talk about a glow up? Sean Clifford, like, how did this happen where he's fast and can move and can do all this stuff? Because I always just viewed him as a pocket quarterback.
Well, he's healthy, first of all, and I think they're also with Yerkes to see they open it up a little bit because he would run the ball last year, but it wasn't like this. I mean, he's extending plays. He's keeping things going. I mean, quite honestly, he kind of plays a little bit like an Aaron Brooks when he was at Oregon, that type of thing. That's what I see when I watch Clifford play, a guy who, you know, you may not expect him to get out there, but all of a sudden when he goes, that boy gone. I mean, he can run. He runs a 4.5. He runs a 4.5. That's been clocked. Wow. Yeah. I mean, this ain't, you know, deceptive facts. Nah, dude. This guy can go and he can throw it. And that's what Penn State has to do. They have to get creative. They have to run these screens because they're talking about using the screens as a form of the run game because they can't get that old school 3 yards pile to dust right now. So they got to get creative to get it. That also comes at a cost because Penn State's third down conversion rate is one of the worst in the country. They're like 91st. Yeah. Also, they happen to be 91st or 92nd running the ball. Mike Felder, that's called a correlation there, brother.
Yeah. Well, I think – well, the big thing for me, and this is something – I got it – I I don't want to drag you into this whole situation, but I got into it with some fans because they don't understand what things mean. Penn State, people are calling them one-dimensional. They have to throw the football, and they do have to throw the football, but the reality is they're still committed to running the football. They still call running plays. They've ran the ball, I think, 12 times fewer than Iowa. They want to run the football. They keep trying, and then when you throw in the screen game as an extension of the run game, they've ran the ball as much as anybody in the country. They just aren't that good at it. But I do think that it looks different. But I also think that that commitment to forcing teams to worry about that element of the game does lend itself to them pushing the ball down the field.
Oh, absolutely, because you still got to load up eight in the box. You still got to guard against it, because Noah Cain is still a good running back. John Lovett is still a good running back. I mean, they're going to have a rotation of three backs.
What's up with Devin Ford?
You know, when he's healthy and engaged, he's good. When he's not. I mean, Kevon Lee is really good. I mean, you know, but Devin Ford, I think we'll see him a lot in the punt return game as well, kick return. And because, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Hartzell, you want to get in here?
Well, I'm just looking at this thing, and I think you kind of touched on it, new bias. Like, I don't know if I trust Spencer Petras to win a football game. I think Sean Clifford can, and that's the difference for me if I'm handicapping this thing.
Well, absolutely, but also for Penn State, they're going to have to figure out, if they get a lead, how to convert some downs to where they're taking knees to finish out the game. Because they messed around, they gave the ball back to Wisconsin twice. It just so happened that Graham Mertz wasn't ready to do it. They gave it back to Auburn, and Bo Nix wasn't ready. You do that against, and maybe if they give it back to Petras, maybe he ain't ready to do it. But eventually on that schedule, they're going to run into a quarterback, if they don't get that corrected, who's going to burn them in that two-minute drill, because it's just how this goes. Is Petras that guy? I don't know. I don't see it. But, hey, it's going to be Kinnick Stadium. It's going to be rowdy. It's like the first thing, one of the first times you got a Big Ten top five matchup that isn't involving Ohio State and/or Michigan. First time for, you know, Iowa playing a game with this level, and, you know, a lot of these Penn State players haven't played a game with this level. So there's going to be some of that, too, because, I mean, you know, talking to both teams during the week, you know, everybody's, we just do the 1-0 every week. And, yeah, that sounds good. But, Mike, we know real life.
Right. Well, this is the last one for me, because I wanted to kind of expand beyond the Penn State world. You mentioned that it's number 3 versus number 4 from an AP or coaches poll standpoint. But on their schedule, and you alluded to this, or you specifically mentioned it. That's not what alluded means. So I want to make sure I get that right. But you have Ohio State, you have Michigan, you have Michigan State. Of those three squads, and obviously I feel like Ohio State's the obvious answer, so let's take them out. Michigan, Michigan State, for Penn State fans, which one of those games feels like they'll know they're over the hump if they can get a dub in it?
Well, to be honest, it's neither one of those. It's only Ohio State at this point. They've proven they could beat Michigan. They've proven they could beat Michigan State. They've proven, really, they could beat any other team in the Big Ten other than Ohio State. It is Ohio State. That is the bugaboo. Yeah. I mean, listen, the game against Iowa, by the way, makes Penn State's schedule exceptionally tough, and James Franklin mentions that. And, you know, sometimes coaches complain about stuff, but he's not wrong about this. The fact that they have to play that East schedule, which by far is the tougher division, and then their crossover game is Iowa every year. And every other year, you got to go up to Kinnick, all right? Ain't no joke, man. That's a tough schedule. But they've shown that they could beat all those teams. They went up and beat Wisconsin at Camp Randall when they hadn't been there in, 5 years? Yes. They've pretty much beaten everybody in the conference except for Ohio State. That is their bugaboo.
Nubias, I'm going to let you go on this one, man, because I know you're in an airport and you got a flight to catch. How emotionally invested are you in the Atlanta Braves postseason? Because you know how it's going to end, my man.
You know what, man? I covered them for a little bit. Once you cover them, you kind of lose that. But what I will say is you're on free money here, Hartzell. You're on free money. They weren't supposed to get here. Real credit to Brian Snicker and Juan Washington and Eric Young and that whole staff. I mean, they have a great coaching staff that has managed to get the best out of these guys. You're without Ronald Acuna. You're without your best starting pitcher. And you're here. How many teams in baseball could lose their best offensive player, their best defensive player on the field, and then their best pitcher and be where they are?
Not many.
Yeah, so, I mean, hey, you got to take that free money. Now, of course, they mess around and beat Milwaukee. You know, all of a sudden now they mess around and get the Dodgers back. I don't know. We might have a different conversation. But for now, just enjoying the free money.
Nubias, have a safe flight. Enjoy the weekend. Appreciate you joining us, all right?
Anytime, man. Thanks, man.
There you go. You. That's our man, Nubias Wilborn, live from an airport. That's cool. I didn't know that this way of getting connected to people worked on a cell phone. We had bad experiences with that in the past. I'm assuming Nubias isn't walking through the airport on a laptop. So, appreciate him joining us. Nubias Wilborn, by the way, Penn State beat writer, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Follow him on Twitter, at NWilborn19. So there you go, man. There's your scout on Penn State, Iowa. You got a pick in this game, man? Because I'll give you mine. Like, I've
you
got
gave
Penn
it to us already.
Yeah,
Penn State.
I got Penn State, bro. That's
I got
my
Penn
pick.
State. So here's – let's do the last two of the Felder Five, and then we can get to that's my dog, and then we're getting out of here. Number two, Iowa forcing turnover. So this is the way that I'm looking at this game. I went on my little mini rant about Iowa forcing turnovers. If they can force turnovers, they give Spencer Petras a short porch, they will win this football game. And if you haven't rewatched their turnovers, I suggest you go and do that, because you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Iowa is arguably not a – no, screw that. Not a, oh, I already said the F word already, so fuck that. Iowa is the best zone team in the country.
No.
No one plays better zone defense than Iowa. Not Georgia, not Alabama. No one plays better zone defense than Iowa. Not Clemson. No one plays better zone defense than Iowa. And the beauty of zone defense is they have 22 eyeballs on the football. Balls that would usually be – would usually fall dead on the field, they go into people's hands. Why? Because they have 22 eyeballs watching the ball every single play. It's beautiful. So if they force – if Iowa is plus three in turnover, they win this football game. Now let's go to number one. It's not just Penn State protecting the football. Number one for me in the Felder Five, it's this 30% rule. It's a thing that I've been slowly building on, working on. But if Penn State can complete 30% of their passes over 20 yards, they're going to win this football game. And I don't mean 30% of passes that go for 20 or more yards. I mean balls that the air yard is over 20. If they can complete 30% of those, then they're going to win. And Penn State does a thing that I am pissed at Georgia for not doing. I think that Michigan, they kind of are starting to try to do it, or they tried to do it against Wisconsin. But Penn State is addicted to it. And Penn State knows that this is an important part of their game. Because I mentioned, right, their rush attempts and using the screen as an extension of run game, they run the ball as much as anybody else in the country. They're just not that good at it. But they also take shots down the field. They take more shots down the field than most people in the country. They are, if I'm not mistaken, 16th in pass plays over 10 yards. Is that right? I think that's right. They are, yeah, let me go. Long scrimmage plays, long scrimmage passing plays. Penn State. So they've thrown 20 yards, not 10 yards. They're 17th, because we just had a game last night. Two games last night. They're 17th in pass plays over 20 yards in the country. That's really good.
Yeah.
And this is something with respect to Iowa, because they play zone coverage is fantastic. I love zone coverage. I think it's the best way to play football. But as you extend the zone, there's a humongous, like, think of, like, if you just think about this, right? if you play zone and nobody throws the ball over 15, 20 yards, you only have to cover 25 and down. And that puts a lot more bodies in the space, right? To get your hands up and tip the football, to intercept the ball, to break on the ball. But now let's take that 25 yards and stretch it to 30, to 35, to 40, to 45 yards. You have to cover 45 yards down the field. Now think about all those little spaces in between that become bigger. And that's what Penn State does a really good job of, which is why Parker Washington, as Nubias mentioned, Parker Washington has become more of a threat because he fits into those in-between spaces while they're worried about Jahan Dotson going over the top.
Yeah.
And I really love that.
Yeah.
And I know we haven't talked about Notre Dame-Cincinnati much at all, but, man, they play man defense. It's really hard to do, but they're really good at it. And it's a complete juxtaposition to Iowa. Iowa, you, like if you watch an Iowa football game, do you see how many guys are making tackles for Iowa?
Yeah.
Like they are, they have, and same thing with Arkansas, right? How many hats are in the frame from a tackle standpoint? And then with Cincinnati, and I don't know if you picked up on this watching them play against Notre Dame, they have so many one-on-one tackles. Because yeah. You're the only person that can make the tackle. It's man-to-man.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, first of all, Cincinnati should have been up 35-0 in that game. I mean, it was 17-0. They had missed field goals. They had some red zone turnovers. I mean, it could have been
ugly.
An epic beatdown. Instead,
it could have been Bubba Sparks, baby.
Wow, a Bubba Sparks reference. You know, I saw Bubba Sparks in concert.
You know that I hung out with Bubba Sparks backstage and we drank Jaeger and whiskey together?
Of course you did. You
I fell off the stage.
You won up my Bubba Sparks story.
I didn't fall off the stage at Bubba Sparks. I fell off the stage at Styles Incomplete. But yes. Yeah, I didn't one up you.
Yeah, you did. I said I went to a concert and you were like, no. I was backstage with the dude drinking Jaeger. So that's a one up. It's okay.
It was a very funny experience because you know what? I'll punt this to Hand in the Dirt.
Oh, we get a Bubba Sparks story next week on Hand in the Dirt.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now, but yes.
Love that.
Well, I'm writing it into the show draft email thing that I have to so we can get to that. Yes, I will save that Bubba Sparks story for Hand in the Dirt. So, folks, subscribe to Hand in the Dirt podcast, and you'll get to hear the Bubba Sparks story.
Georgia native Bubba Sparks, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
The Grange guy. Just putting that out there.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that is your extended
Felder 5. Been
traveling
for some time.
Yeah, thank you.
With my fishing pole and a bottle of wine.
Bubba Sparks still out on the road? He must be.
Yeah, dude. He's on the road. He's a road warrior.
I just.
That's part of – I'll tell this story on a different show, but yes.
Okay.
All right. You want to get to That's My Dog, and then we can get out of here?
That's my dog.
Take that.
That's my dog. Say that right, Mom. That's my dog. That's my dog. That's my dog. And anybody got to say anything, you let me know. That's my dog.
Thank you, Smokey. It is time for That's My Dog. We are, I did the math. We are 7-2 on the season with underdog picks. Now, these aren't
pretty
underdog
good.
Picks that just cover. Nah. These are underdog picks that actually win the game straight up. Arkansas, Texas, Michigan State, Miami. Felder gave you Auburn, LSU last week.
Yeah.
Tripp, our producer here on this fine program, is 2-0 with That's My Dog picks. So Tripp's on a little bit of a heater. We will ride him coming up here in just a matter of moments. I've got two picks this week, Felder.
Yeah.
A game we have not talked about. Nebraska hosting Michigan.
How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about it? I'm going Nebraska +3.5. That's my dog. They win this game straight up.
Okay.
I have been fading Michigan for a month. I have been wrong. Every time.
For a month.
I have been wrong on 4 straight occasions. I get right Saturday night. You know how many times Michigan has trailed this season?
Like how much time they have or like how
yeah.
many?
Yeah.
I don't know. Twice?
0. They have yet to trail in a game this year. So what happens when you handle – what happens when you have to face some adversity on the road? Because Nebraska's defense – Yeah, you can make fun of Adrian Martinez. He's been a turnover machine, although he lately
gotten, he's no Graham Mertz.
He's gotten that under control. No, Graham Mertz needs to sit down. Get that guy out of here. I don't want to see him again.
He's super good.
Yeah, when he's not turning the ball over, Felder.
Yeah, but like he's so like he is, I think it's there's no question, with the exception of Russell Wilson, he's the most talented quarterback that they've had.
Fine. I don't want to talk about Graham Mertz. That guy's turned it over a dozen times in the last two games.
I know. It's been very hard to watch.
That's not an exaggeration. I think the number's like 10 or 11, maybe 12. I mean, it's outrageous.
Yeah. You're right. He's living that Sam Darnold life.
It's rough. But listen, Nebraska +3.5 at home. Why is the line just 3.5? Michigan's undefeated. They're ranked in the top 10. I'll tell you why.
Yeah, but they can't throw the ball.
It's because Michigan's not that good.
Ooh. Okay.
So give me Nebraska +3.5. I've got a two-pack for you. I'm going back to another game.
Oh, man.
Cotton Bowl. Red River Rivalry. Red River Shootout. Red River Showdown. Texas-Oklahoma. Give me Texas +3 against the Sooners. That's another team I've been fading for the last month. You know how many times Oklahoma's beaten an FBS opponent this year by double digits?
Zero.
Zero. It hasn't happened yet.
I knew that answer.
It hasn't happened yet. All their wins have just been, like, ugly. Now, they
did. Why did Western Michigan change their logo?
I've noticed that. It looks like the Washington football team logo from the NFL. I don't like it at all. I don't know what that's about. But, yeah, listen, Texas is going to win this game straight up. Feed Bijan. That dude... He is special. I mean, he is a bona fide Sunday football player suiting it up for the Texas Longhorns. You don't like him?
No, I like him. I don't like this matchup for Texas.
Okay, why?
Oklahoma's got a top 10 rushing defense.
Yeah, I understand.
They're very good at stopping the run.
Okay.
Texas cannot throw the football very well. To beat them, you have to throw.
They're going to throw it to Bijan. Bang, bang. Let's go.
It's not going to help them.
Yeah, dude.
Throwing screens, that's not going to help.
So you don't
want... As we mentioned when we talked with Dubias, throwing screens is an extension of the run game. Guess what? They're good at that.
So you're poo-pooing my pick.
I'm just saying I don't think this is a good matchup for Texas.
Give me Texas +3. They will beat Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl. Give me Nebraska +3.5. They will win at home against Michigan. That is my two-pack of picks for this week's That's My Dog. Felder, anything that you would like to add since you don't agree with either one of these?
Well, I'm going KISS method, right? Keep it simple, stupid. And I'm going Penn State.
Okay, Felder going with Penn State +2. You got them to win outright.
Yeah.
Love it.
I think my 30% theory is going to hold true. They're probably going to attempt somewhere between 9 and 11, never forget, passes down the field over 20 yards. And I think that they're going to hit on 3 or 4 of them, which puts them in position to score, which puts them in a position to win.
Okay. I love it.
Pretty simple. What do we got from Tripp?
Tripp, what's your pick to click this week, buddy? What you got?
All right. Well, first off, I think it deserves to be mentioned that last week, before I realized the dog had to win outright, I did give you Louisiana Tech +18.
They covered, lost by 7. They covered but did not win against NC State, yes.
Another no-sweat winner.
Okay, no sweat. All right, come on, big guy. What you got for us this week? What you got for us? Where are we going?
All right, let's talk about Rutgers. Rutgers.
Oh, man.
Is a 5.5-point dog.
That's correct. They host
at
Michigan State. Yes.
Against Michigan State. Rutgers.
Man, my wife hates you.
Rutgers has 32 losses straight against the top 25. Last time they beat a ranked team was 2009. You know who the head coach was?
Greg Schiano.
Same guy coaching them now. I think they're going to upset Michigan State on Saturday.
Oh.
It's a lock.
It's a lock. Okay, so
Rutgers over Michigan State on Saturday.
Oh, boy. Oh, We've got Mrs. Felder from the top rope. All right, so here we go. There's a four-pack of picks for That's My Dog. I'm going with Nebraska plus 3.5, Texas plus 3. Felder's got Penn State plus 2. Boy, a lot of Big Ten action on the board. And Tripp is going with Rutgers plus 5.5 against Michigan State. Wow. Okay. Folks, that's the show.
Wow.
We're going to get rich or we're going to go broke. One or the other.
Get rich or die trying.
Yeah. Felder, plug your stuff before we get out of here.
Make sure you check me out on Stadium. Watchstadium.com. You can find Campus Insiders there. You can find Tape Don't Lie, the television segments there. We also do Tape Don't Lie, the podcast. And I think this week we had a really fun show. Hartzell, let me know when you listen to the show from this week with Lauren Brownlow. What you thought about Tape Don't Lie, the podcast, because a lot of folks have already told me that they were like, yeah, this is helping me because it's a lot more accessible than when you talk to Roddy Jones about only Inside Zone.
Okay. It's on my list. I listen to it when I walk my dog in the morning. So I'm on it.
Yeah. It's Lauren Brownlow coming on and she talks about how she helped make herself a smarter football fan, which has been really cool because she's someone I really respect in the biz and who's built themselves. And you know what? We got to get Stephen Hartzell on there, right?
Oh, you don't want me on there, bro.
Oh, dude, come on. Do another podcast together? Let's go.
Yeah, you get your fill of me. Don't you worry.
It's all good. I showed my wife your kid's door last night, and she was like, oh, my God.
By the way, isopropyl,
rubbing alcohol?
The strong rubbing alcohol. It actually worked.
Nice.
So it's turned it kind of into like a pink frame. It's faded. I'm going to go back at it again. But, yeah, I was told that my kid is an artist and I probably shouldn't stifle his vision. But, hey, man, how about you not do a vision with a red permanent Sharpie on your white door? How about that?
I love it. So Tape Don't Lie, the podcast. Check Hartzell and myself and Michael Serber out on Hand in the Dirt. And check out itsfelder.bulletin.com. Thanks, everyone, for subscribing. And listen, more subscribers, more info. And I try to do this thing where it gets posted to the newsletter first, and then I'll throw it out on Twitter and on Instagram, and obviously on Facebook. I do that a day or two after. So if you subscribe, you get it early. You know what I'm saying? You get that just like on sneakers, right? You get that early access.
Oh boy! I mean, when you get that member access, man. I mean, my antenna goes up. It's just and then you see what you got member access to, and it's some Bobo ass shoes that nobody wants. So
dude, the member accesses have been sucking.
Yeah, nobody gets member accesses to, like, Jordan OG highs. Everybody gets member access to, like, the Air Monarchs. And you're like, oh, cool. Can't wait to grill out in these.
I don't understand why Monarchs are even on sneakers. Is that, like, some weird normcore stuff that we just aren't into?
It's the hipsters, dude. They're ruining it for everybody. Like, people want those shoes now.
I live in Chicago, which I don't know if you know. This is big Fila country.
Yeah, Fila's trying to come back, dude.
And you get down with Fila, right? Forever I Love Atlanta?
I know about I do not get down with Fila. I'm not a Fila guy. I'm not a Champion guy. All these brands that are dead are trying to come back. People are going to start wearing Reeboks again, man. It's over.
Oh, gosh. I don't like this. I think Kanye really messed up the sneaker game with these huge sneakers. It's all. They're awful. All right, so let's get out of here. Folks got to listen to The Blitz, right?
Yeah, listen to The Blitz, XM84. Tripp's a part of that, too. He's running the board. He's mixing the whole thing, making it sound really good. So, yeah, Blitz, XM84. Also, you can listen to it on the Varsity Network app. I feel like I hear whispering in the background there. I'm a little concerned. Let's get out of here. We got thanks to Nubias Wilborn. Thanks to Michael Felder for Tripp Hurd. I'm Stephen Hartzell. We are out, folks. Enjoy week 6. We'll talk to you all later.